When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
You're listening to All the Backlist, a weekly show about books that are not new. I'm Tirza Price, coming to you from Book Riot. This is episode 329.5, and this week I'm going to be diving into the stacks to talk about two great dreamy graphic novels. But first, let's hear from our sponsor.
Today's episode is brought to you by Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publisher of the smash hit Fourth Wing. You'll only cross these blades once in a page-turning new tale of revenge, strategy, and so many lies. Best-selling Red Tower Books is releasing its next irresistible read that will capture your imagination and keep you guessing until the end. Mae Corlin's Five Broken Blades tells an intricate, high-stakes tale of five total strangers united in a plot that will test their strength, wits, and courage. Each has their reasons, all have secrets. But while it's easy to portray a stranger, it's not so simple to stab a friend or a lover, okay, in the back. Now these five blades must choose between vengeance and one another. Pick up Five Broken Blades by Mae Corlin for a thrilling, adventurous tale filled with risk, romance, adventure, and oh, so many lies. The relationships in it are complex and nuanced and involve everything from friends to enemies, found and biological family and lovers and more. Thanks again to Entangled Publishing's Red Tower Books, publishers of the smash hit Fourth Wing, for sponsoring this episode. Today's episode is brought to you by Greenleaf Book Group. No summer vacation should be without a great read, and I don't know about you, but I am partial to mysteries and thrillers for my hot month reads. It's hot girl reading summer always over here. And from the award-winning librettist of Legally Blonde, the musical, and the screenwriter of Freaky Friday, Heather Hawk, comes the page-turning psychological thriller, The Trouble with Drowning. So when author Eden Hart floats into Tucson's Antigone Books and all her dazzling perfection to give a reading, Kat, a struggling writer, can't help but compare herself. Thankfully, Kat's life starts to take on its own Eden-like glow when her literary future takes shape and she falls madly in love with Jacob. As demons from her past begin to surface, Kat's mental health craters and this halcyon dream slips through her fingers. For the fastest paced, slow burn you won't be able to put down, be sure to check out The Trouble with Drowning by Heather Hawk on Amazon or your retailer of choice. And thanks again to Greenleaf Book Group for sponsoring this episode.
All right, so I picked the books that I'm going to talk about today because I feel like even though they are very different genres, they have very similar vibes. I've been reading a lot of graphic novels and graphic memoirs lately. I just moved to a new town with a library that has a great graphic selection. So it's been really fun to kind of just, you know, pick through books that I have missed over the years or finding some new to me backlist and new books. So one of these books I read recently and I really loved, and it kind of reminded me of another book I read a couple of years ago. So we're going to start with A Map to the Sun by Sloane Leong, which is a gorgeous graphic novel that came out last summer. It is about two friends, Ren and Luna. They meet at the beginning of the book, and I think they're in middle school at that point. And they strike up this very intense, fast friendship. They meet on the basketball court near the beach where Ren goes every day to shoot hoops. And Luna is a surfer and she kind of comes across Ren and they both just play basketball together. And it's a really beautiful friendship. But towards the end of the summer, it falls apart when Luna has to go back to Hawaii, where she's from, because her mother is dying. And she doesn't keep in contact, and that kind of hurts for Ren. And so she just disappears for like 2-3 years, and Ren sort of moves on with her life. And then the book fast forward to high school, And all of a sudden, Luna shows up again. Her mom has passed away. She's back in Southern California living with her aunt. And she sees Ren and she's like, oh, hey, you know, it's so great to see you again. And Ren is kind of like, we're not friends. Like, you ghosted me. You completely dropped me. And she's having a really hard time trusting Luna again. However, the school has decided to give the girls a chance at forming a basketball team. And this is mostly driven by this optimistic young teacher who looks around and says, like, hey, why are all the sports in the school for boys? Why can't the girls have a basketball team? And so she tries to get this going and everyone's kind of like, you know, it's not going to work. Girls here aren't interested. But Ren is interested, and she and Luna and three of their friends sort of tentatively agree that, yeah, we'll join the basketball team. We'll see what we can do. And, you know, they really, really suck at the beginning because three of them have never played basketball before. And one of them just doesn't really care. She's just there because all of her friends are doing it and they've kind of talked her into it. And so this is just a really beautiful story about how they are bonding and navigating the complexities of, you know, individual relationships, but also like group dynamics and teamwork when they've never really had to, you know, navigate that before. And it's hard because Ren is very good at basketball, so good that, you know, she gets a lot of attention, even potential attention from scouts. But the rest of the team's just not quite on her level. And so she has to learn how to be a teammate. The other girls also have to learn, you know, to stick with things, even if it's hard, even if they aren't good at it at first. And it's just like this really wonderful journey for them. Of course, it's also marred by sexism because, of course, the boys' coach is not happy that the girls are, you know, now exist as a team and then he has to share his resources. So there's a nice sort of feminist element to that as they are sort of just like staking their territory and saying like, hey, we can do this. So the other thing I want to say about this book is the artwork is gorgeous. It is absolutely vibrant and just so like saturated and beautiful. It's almost neon on the page. And it really creates this sort of like dreamy feel of reading this book where it fades and floats from color to color. Like if you get this book in person, and you just look at the book block, like you can see just the absolute rainbow of color. And it made me gasp the first time I saw it. And just flipping through it, the colors are gorgeous. I've never seen a graphic novel work with color the way that A Map to the Sun works with color. So that for me would have made it stand out automatically. But then the fact that it's also this really beautiful story about female friendship and navigating all of the complexities of, you know, just individual emotional hangups and individual challenges and learning how to like let your friends in and let them help you and also be vulnerable, which can be hard. So absolutely recommend A Map to the Sun. Although I do want to give a content warning. There is not graphically depicted, but there is depicted an inappropriate relationship between a student and a teacher. There is talk of drug use, violence, and domestic abuse. Again, none of it's super graphic, but it is present throughout the story. So that is A Map to the Sun by Sloane Leung. And A Map to the Sun reminded me, even though, like I said, they're completely different genres and different art styles, it reminded me of Tilly Walden's work. So I want to recommend On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden, which is this, like, honestly, it's a tome of a graphic novel, but it is really, really beautiful as well. The artwork also has a similar sort of dreamy quality to it. And it doesn't use quite as many colors as A Map to the Sun, but it has a really distinct color palette. And the artwork is very detailed and just really, I don't know, I'm trying to describe what it is when you look at this artwork and how you feel. It's just, you kind of feel like you've been immersed into this dreamy landscape, but yet it's very detailed and the world building is just really extraordinary. So this is a science fiction graphic novel, and it is about Mia. She has recently graduated from like high school, and she has joined this crew of basically restorers, I guess. They go around the galaxy and they go to like old space stations and old, I guess they're not buildings in space, but like, yeah, they're like old space stations and structures. And they basically break them down for parts. So then the parts can be used in other structures and stations throughout the galaxy. And so at the beginning of the book, as Mia's joining this crew, she's very quiet. She's kind of reticent. The rest of the crew probably see her as like this very withdrawn person. And the crew is all women and non-binary folks, and they are very tight-knit, very close, like a family. And so Mia's arrival is a little bit challenging for them, because here's a stranger coming in to their very tight-knit crew. And the work that they do can be dangerous, and it can be demanding. So that creates a little bit of complications. But this book is also dual timeline. And so you get this timeline of Mia joining the crew, but then it also jumps back to years earlier when she was just starting at this boarding school in space. It's like its own little space station. And she's kind of an outcast there as well, but she has this friend named Grace, and she and Grace fall for one another. And they have like this very intense friendship, and it very quickly goes into sort of romantic territory. But Grace is also kind of a mystery, because she's kind of from this planet that like nobody is supposed to talk about or know that she's from there. And when she divulges this to Mia, it's a big secret. And so they have this really intense relationship, and these beautiful sort of scenes of them sneaking out at night. And there's this really odd and very inventive game that the students play at this school. And so Mia and Grace, you know, go and they play this game, and they have a lot of like really beautiful secret moments. But then all of a sudden, one day, Grace is just like taken away from the school. Her family comes and says, "Nope, come on, we're going." And she's whisked away, and she barely gets time to say goodbye to Mia. And that really haunts Mia. So you have that backstory sort of interspersed with Mia's current timeline. And you realize that she has an ulterior motive for joining this crew of restorers, because they hop around the galaxy. And she's really hoping that she can find Grace again. So it's kind of like, you know, there is an adventure and there is some action and there are definitely some high stakes, but it's very much a slow building plot that kind of builds to a really rushed momentum. And that's not like a bad thing in my mind, because it's like one of those books you're reading it and you're like, yeah, this is lovely, this is lovely. And then it's like, oh crap, things get really real. So when Mia's two timelines kind of come together in a really wonderful way, that's when the plot takes off. But before that, it feels kind of like a cozy space novel, which is, I don't know, it's kind of odd to think about. But I think that Tilly Walden did a great job of balancing like these two sort of very different but interesting storylines, and all of the details that are kind of dropped along the way. They all come together really nicely. So again, it's just a very beautiful graphic novel, very detailed. There's, you know, again, just really great use of color, especially to delineate between timelines, which is super helpful for a very visual text like this. And it was really lovely. It's one of those books that I think I read probably 3 or 4 years ago, and it still really stands out in my mind. So that is On a Sunbeam by Tilly Walden. And that is it for me today. I hope that you are all staying safe and well-read this weekend. And thank you so much to our sponsor. You can find a list of the books I mentioned in the show notes by visiting bookriot.com/allthebooks. And if you enjoyed this podcast episode, please show us some love by leaving us a rating or review on Apple Podcasts, because it helps other book lovers find us. And we also just like to know if you pick up a book that we recommend. And thank you, as always, to our sound editor, Jen Zink. Finally, if you want to connect with me or see pictures of my books and very sassy cats, you can follow me on Twitter and Instagram. I'm at Tirza Price. That's T-I-R-Z-A-H-P-R-I-C-E. And I will be back next month on a regular episode of All the Books with Liberty and with more backlist recommendations. Thanks for listening and have a great weekend.